Hello, my name is Paul Weatherly. This is an introduction to Chapter 4, The Political Environment. This is one of seven chapters in the first part of the book dealing with interrelated dimensions of the business environment. In this chapter, we look at what we mean by politics and what politics has got to do with business. The answer to that second question is quite a lot. Many people studying business might think of business and politics as different things, and that politics doesn't have much to do with business, but the aim of this chapter is to show that that's a misconception and that we need to understand the interdependence between business and government. So in this chapter we start off by discussing what we mean by politics and what it's got to do with business. We look at different forms of the interdependence between business and government. We consider different types of political system, with a particular focus on democracy or liberal democracy. We look at different models of capitalism, which is to do with the balance between the market and the state. We look at some of the important economic and political differences between nations in a globalizing world, looking at particularly income level and democracy. And we consider the political environment in terms of multi-level governance, which is concerned with the way politics and governance operate not just at a national level, but also below the nation state, i.e. for example, at a local government level, and also a superstate level, or in other words, above the level of the nation state. The most important example of that being the European Union. So first of all, what is politics? Politics primarily, or essentially, is concerned with competing views about the type of society we want to live in. In other words, different views of the good society. And it's concerned with deciding the rules under which we live together in that society and the collective decisions that we make together. So politics arises because we have, within society, different ideas about the good society, different ideas about the kind of society we want to live in. And politics is bound up with business because, of course, key issues here, when we think about the good society, concern the role and responsibilities of business. How far economic decisions should be left to the market? What is the agenda of government in relation to economic decisions? And what's the best mix of the public and private sectors, or between the market and the state? So in other words, whenever we think about these kinds of big questions about the kind of world we want to live in, the kind of society that we want to create and live in together, the role and responsibilities of business, the nature of economic life, the role of government in that, these questions loom very large. And what we can see when we look at these kinds of questions is that there's no such thing, strictly speaking, as a free market. In all capitalist or market systems, states or governments play important roles, at least in providing conditions in which markets can work. So societies have to make choices about how far they leave economic activity to private actors in the market, or how far states have to intervene in regulating markets, or taking on the role of economic actors in providing goods and services themselves. So if we look at the interdependence between business and government, we can see that the way the economy is organised, as I've said, looms large in any conception of the good society. And business is involved in a variety of relationships with government that are set out in this chapter. These are that government sets the legal framework within which business operates. It levies taxes on business. It provides services that can be important to business performance. It purchases goods and services from the private sector. It manages the economy overall. And it deals with other governments and international organisations. When we look at different types of political system in this chapter, here the focus is on two things. Firstly, democracy or liberal democracy and its variants. And secondly, different models of capitalism. And here the chapter sets out three broad models of capitalism that we can see in the modern world that involve different ways of combining the state and the market. First of all, there's what we might call a minimal state model, which is the idea of leaving economic activity and decisions as far as possible to markets, with states playing a minimal role, essentially confined to creating the conditions in which markets can operate effectively. But the two other models of capitalism involve a much more extensive idea of the role of the state. The first of these is what's sometimes called the social democratic state, and this is typified by the idea that the state needs to take responsibility for a range of welfare activities, or in other words, the provision of goods and services which are essential to the well-being of citizens and which in this view can't be left to markets. And the third view is what's often called the developmental state, which is where the state's role is critical in fostering and promoting economic development, again, rather than leaving that to the market. In the chapter, we look at economic and political differences in a globalizing world. And the emphasis here is on the striking disparities that we can see in the modern world between nations in terms of income level and democratic governance. There are constant shifts in the pace and level of development of countries, creating new forms of interrelationship and interdependence. So particularly important here in recent decades has been the emergence of new rapidly developing economies, or what sometimes are referred to as emerging markets, particularly the so-called BRIC economies of Brazil, Russia, India and China. So these are transforming the global business environment. If we look at the world today, we can see that there are these disparities still between nations in terms of democracy and level of economic development. And in this chapter, we use data from the Economist Intelligence Unit, Index of Democracy, and World Bank data, which divides countries according to their level of development or income level. And we can see that there are huge differences in the world today, both in terms of democracy and the level of development of economies. So for example, just less than 1/6 of the world's population live in the just over 1/3 of countries that are defined by the World Bank as high income. These are, if you like, the countries where business activity is concentrated. They constitute, in other words, the most important part of the business environment, involving, as I've said, just about 1/6 of the world's population. The rest of the world's economies are classified by the World Bank as either middle income or low income. If we look at the world in terms of democracy, we see equally striking disparities. Whereas about 45% of countries today, according to the Economist Intelligence Unit, are democracies, only 11% of those are full democracies, and 34% are what the Economist Intelligence Unit classifies as flawed democracies. But these democracies are distinguished from what are referred to as hybrid or authoritarian regimes. 88% of high-income countries are democracies, and conversely, 95% of full democracies are high income. So there's a very striking correlation in the world today between level of income or level of development and democracy. So this raises the question, which we discuss in the chapter, of the possible link between capitalism, economic growth, and democracy. And there does seem to be an historical association between the development of capitalism, the generation of economic growth, and democratic change. On the other hand, it could be that democracy itself provides a favourable environment for capitalism to develop and for economic growth to take place, suggesting a kind of interaction between democracy and economic development. But as we emphasise in the chapter, this may be a fragile relationship and one that shouldn't be taken for granted. The chapter also looks at the political environment in terms of multi-level governance. This is the idea that politics operates not simply at the national level in terms of national governments or nation states, but also below that level in terms of subnational or local government, and beyond the level of the nation state in terms of what's often called supranational governance, the most important form of that in the modern world being the European Union. And in this chapter, we look at two important developments in recent years affecting the UK, and those are the movement towards demands for independence on the part of Scotland and the recent devolution referendum, and secondly, the 2016 referendum in which the UK voted to leave the European Union. So, in summary, politics is concerned with choices and decisions that affect the whole society. And politics and business are closely bound up because political decisions are concerned very centrally with the role and responsibilities of business and how far economic activity should be left to markets. Business, in other words, is at the heart of political controversy in Britain today.